Why is gold pushing to all-time highs? Simply because the cost of living is up almost 18% since 2021. The $34 trillion national debt has investors worried when this house of cards will come crashing down. This is why so many Americans are turning to Birch Gold Group. Text COAST to 989898 and get your free info kit on gold and to see how Birch Gold can help you convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold. Text COAST to 989898 now.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with Mark Shaw. His websites are linked up at coasttocoastam.com. I do want to point out that in November, the anniversary dates of the death of Dorothy Kilgallen and John F. Kennedy, our president, of course. Mark Shaw will be back on both of those areas, right close to those dates, for two more shows, by the way. Thank you, Mark. Tell us more about this Waco, Texas person.
Well, I really appreciate it, George. You know, I want to just mention one thing. If there's anything we should learn from what happened to Marilyn, JFK, and Dorothy, and I think I've said this before, people need to ask questions. And it's just as true then as it is now. You can't take the government's, what they tell us just on face value. You've got to ask questions. I don't care if it's about monkeypox or whatever it is, political or anything else. People have to ask questions.
Yep.
And unfortunately, back in the day, they didn't with any one of these three deaths. I mean, I just found what I mentioned here. Dorothy was trying to get attention to Marilyn's death. She wrote, "I can't answer all of the questions about it, but I have a feeling the real story hasn't been told, not by a long shot." Well, that should have made people that knew Marilyn and those in the the authorities and all of that stand up and say, "Hey, we need to investigate." And yet, of course, they didn't. And I also want to tell you that in the Warren Commission investigation I've done, the tapes audio recordings of LBJ and Hoover, they called Dorothy the dirty columnist. And I think in some ways that's a tribute to her because she was pursuing the truth and everything. But the two accounts that have happened, I recently heard from a man named Dudley down in Texas who actually gave me what I think is a very credible account of Oswald and Ruby being at the same place near where he lived. It's a very detailed account. I've been able to fact check it and all of that. There was also a name that people in Texas may know. His name was O.L. Nelms, who owned a big club in Dallas, and Jack Ruby at one point leased that. So I've kind of got those connections in there now. And now, as I think I said once before on the program, I've got a connection between Ruby and Marcello in the summer of 1963 as well, by a woman named Kathleen in Dallas. And so all of that has really come together to give, I think, a clearer picture of what happened when JFK was killed.
That's a huge story. And Marilyn's involvement. Who introduced Marilyn Monroe to JFK? Was it Peter Lawford or Frank Sinatra?
Well, it looks like, there's both accounts. And as far as my research shows, I'm a historian, so I look at the right places, I think, for facts, and that's the National Archives, in my opinion. If I could suggest anything to your listeners, stay away from Wikipedia. Anybody can go in there now and change things and do whatever they want to. But the National Archives, the Smithsonian, there are other places that you want to find things. So I usually go to the National Archives. And in there, I think it's clear that it was Sinatra who initially If you look in Fighting for Justice, you're going to see photographs of him with JFK at the inauguration. They've got on their tuxedos.
Oh, they were close.
Very, very close until everything blew up, as you know, when Joe Kennedy told JFK, "You got to stay away from him. We don't want he's involved with mobsters. Yep. We don't want that on the front page."
And his biggest disappointment, he remodeled his Palm Springs house, put in a helicopter pad and everything, because the president was going to spend the weekend with him, and that's when Joe Kennedy told his son, "You ain't going, boy." He decided not to, and Sinatra was livid, and JFK ended up staying at Bing Crosby's house.
Yes, he did. That's good. You always do your research, George. That's
no, I just read your books.
Well, that's nice of you. Thank you. But, you know, I'm not a big Frank Sinatra fan. You know that. I have two new chapters in Fighting for Justice about this guy, and a lot of it's pretty negative. But I will tell you what. I think he really held Marilyn with respect.
I do, too.
I really think he had a respect for her. Now, I have some research I've done, you know, that they were together at the Sands Hotel in June of the year before she died. Marilyn will be Mr. Sinatra's guest. It is intention that Miss Monroe be accorded the most privacy during her stay. She will be registered in Mr. Sinatra's suite. You're not to bother them until after 2 o'clock and things like that. But you may remember that when I was investigating Dorothy's death, there was this Las Vegas casino operator who told me all about Ron Pataki, who was Dorothy Kilgallen's lover when she died and her confidant, and we believe that really set her up to be killed. By the way, Ron Pataki unfortunately died about 6 weeks ago.
Oh, he did? My God.
One of the great regrets of my life is that I could not put him in prison where he belonged. When I last talked to him, he sounded like the most lonely, guilt-stricken, just down-in-the-dumps man, and he came so close to telling me exactly what happened with Dorothy. And then I was just shocked when I found out that he had died of natural causes. But Las Vegas casino guy said, Frank certainly did care about Marilyn. He had a side to him that wanted to look out for the injured, and she was one of them. I heard he even paid the bills for a psychiatrist she was seeing. And this guy knew everybody, and he knew Sinatra because Sinatra gambled right in the casino lounge where this guy was the casino boss. So I really believe, and also I love a photograph that I have in Fighting for Justice. People may have seen it, but it's on Sinatra's yacht. And he's sitting there with his shirt off, he's all tanned and everything. Across from him is Marilyn. And you can't see her face, but she's leaning forward listening to him. And I love that picture because it looks to me like that he was giving her credit. In the second hour, we'll talk about that Marilyn was no dumb blonde and all of that and everything. But it looked to me like that he had respect for her. I got to give him credit for doing that because she didn't have a lot of men that treated her that well.
That's true. That is absolutely true.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpert.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something had gone wrong between John Kennedy and then he passed her off to Bobby Kennedy. Something went wrong. She was going to go public with something. What happened?
Well, it's in that CIA document I found that was just gold. And unfortunately, of course, the date on it is August 3rd, 1962. And so they knew Marilyn was in jeopardy. You know, it talks about her, as well as Dorothy and JFK, being fascinated with UFOs. And JFK is going to go to Texas to look at where that is, where the UFOs came down. And then it talks about that she's upset with the Attorney General because he won't return her calls. JFK's romance with Marilyn was short-lived because Joe said no more of that, and they all listened to Joe, those Kennedy boys.
They did.
And,
they,
right. And so Bobby Kennedy, I landed on him because he was the next biggest name other than Joe DiMaggio at the time, the Yankee Clipper. And so I started looking into that. He was in L.A. in 1962 in the summer working on a movie deal for his book, The Enemy Within. And then, of course, that CIA document solidifies his romance with Marilyn. He had told her he was going to divorce Ethel and marry Marilyn and all of that going on. And so it really proved that, you know, there was that relationship. And then it said in there that she had threatened to go to the media about the love affairs, but more about JFK setting up Fidel Castro for the kill. And that was a matter of national security. I don't know if it was pillow talk.
And we didn't know that until a few years ago.
No, that's right. And a lot of people have not paid attention to that CIA document. That's one of the reasons that I'm so pleased that people get back in touch to me, because I've been able to put everything in context. Nobody's ever been able to have the, you know, the background on some of these things. Hell, I practiced law with Melvin Belli, as you know, the lawyer for Ruby. So when I started in all this, I had that advantage. And then, of course, God love her, I've got Dorothy Kilgallen in my corner, and that's made all the difference.
And it wasn't Belli, by the way, passed on to Ruby by the mob as his attorney?
Well, there's only one thing you need to know about that, and that is when a waiter came up to Belli and a friend of his, and that's my source, and I knew this man, and told him that Oswald had been killed, Melvin Belli said, well, now I'll have to represent Jack Ruby. And he had no criminal defense experience. He basically was ordered, I think, by Marcello, who we can talk about later if you want, or down near the assassination, that he was to go to Texas, represent Ruby, keep his mouth shut, and make him look crazy. And that solidified, that tied up those loose ends there that need to be tied up for the people who are responsible for JFK's death, so Bobby would be powerless, which is exactly what happened.
Were they concerned that Marilyn Monroe was going to go so public that it would have affected John F. Kennedy's reelection campaign?
Oh, George, you can just imagine. That people have asked me, wait a minute, Mark, Robert Kennedy wouldn't have been dumb enough to be in L.A. I've destroyed his alibi that he was in San Francisco. I have the report at 20th Century Fox Studios in a helicopter he did with Peter Lawford. He wouldn't be dumb enough to be in L.A. Well, let me tell you something. He may have thought Marilyn was a dumb blonde, and she may have said she was tired of being passed around like a piece of meat, but it scared the hell out of him, because all it took was for her to go to the media, and both Kennedy boys would have been done.
Oh yeah, people would have believed her.
They really would have, and because she had, you know, her house was bugged by J. Edgar Hoover and all of that, but that would have been the end of them. So as you know, I say that if Bobby Kennedy would have been prosecuted for Marilyn Monroe's death in 1962 based on this mountains of evidence, there would have been no JFK assassination, there would have been no Dorothy Kilgallen JFK assassination, no Dorothy Kilgallen investigation, and you can now stretch it on, there would have been no Warren Commission corruption, which ended up being the biggest con in history, which is the fact that Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone.
She was a great actress, too. She worked hard to do what she did, didn't she?
Well, she studied with Lee Strasberg. You can't get much better than that, and a little bit more in the second hour. But, I have some accounts where Marilyn went to an auction. I want to mention that. Some papers by a guy that became famous because of writing or directing Shakespeare's Midsummer Night Dream, and she bought those papers. She studied. She read Ulysses. I have poetry that we can talk about in the second hour that she wrote. There's a eulogy that I would like to read at the end of the program about Marilyn that was by Strasberg. But she really worked on her craft, and you know, all she wanted to be in life, there are two things she wanted to be in life. She wanted to be a mother, and we'll talk about that with an account that I have in the second hour. And second, she wanted to be looked upon as a respected actress, and all you have to do is look at the film The Misfits. Because that is Marilyn at her best. Supposedly she had a lot of problems, they say, with this and that.
Was that her final film?
That's her final film, and it is just riveting to watch her. I'm trying to think of I think the last time I was on your program, I got the co-star wrong. I don't think it was Clark Gable, but I can't remember exactly.
Was it John Wayne?
No, it's not John Wayne. Anyway, it might have been Clark Gable, but somebody will call.
We'll get it.
Tom will know or something. But you see them on the screen. It's just electric. But you can see the emotion coming out of her in that film. And God love her. At least she was able to have that particular role. All of them are incredible, but that one stands out because that was the culmination.
It was Clark Gable, by the way.
Okay, it was good. I was right. That was the culmination of all the work she did. And that's what really bothers me so much at times. Nobody stood up for Dorothy Kilgallen when she died. We'll talk about that on the 8th of her anniversary death. But nobody did for Marilyn either. And you hope that when you die that those people who know you well and say they love you and everything will come up and say, wait a minute, you know, Marilyn Monroe would not have committed suicide.
And that's absolutely what they put down on the death certificate, probable suicide, right?
If you want to falsify a death and cover up, this book's all about cover-ups. If you want to cover up a murder, just go ahead and falsify the autopsy. The first one they had in the morning said that she died of an overdose of drugs. 3 or 4 hours later, it was probable suicide. Cyril Weck, who's been on your program great many times, who is a great friend and the finest forensic scientist, I think, who may have ever lived, told me he looked at 16,000 different autopsies. He never saw probable suicide. And Noguchi, of course, the ME, said later on, I just made a little mistake. I forgot to look at Marilyn Monroe's inner organs, some of them, and by the time I figured out I needed to do that, they'd been destroyed. I mean, just imagine that with one of the most famous people in the world, and they botched the autopsy like that, just like they did with Dorothy Kilgallen.
And why did they wait so long to call the police, Mark?
Well, that's a fuzzy one, that's for sure. I mean, in the documentary on Marilyn Monroe, the Netflix, they give about 16 different ways that supposedly that happened, including ambulances going back and forward and all that. But basically, they just character assassinate Marilyn and leave out any evidence to the contrary that she was on the upswing. There's a new movie coming out called Blonde where they don't even care about the facts. But in this situation, there's real questions about the psychiatrist Greenson and the other the doctor that she had and who got there first and what they were doing and all that. I think the best account of that is in this one book that I'll mention down the line by Eunice Murray, the housekeeper, who really says exactly what happened when the police got there. But about 3 hours or so, George, go by while those two men are there and everything before the police are called. So
yeah, that's strange. And one broke a window to get in, her bedroom.
It's just nonsense. And the crime scene is completely... massacred. I mean, things aren't where they were supposed to be and all of that. It just one of the worst, I can't remember who it was that told me, this is one of the worst investigations of a murder in history, and it was.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern, and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold-Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.